Welcome to the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. For over 30 years, Paul Stone has been seriously handicapping college football, college basketball, and PGA Tour golf. Over the past five seasons, spanning almost 600 releases, Paul has hit 55% against the spread in college football, gaining the respect of sports books and bettors throughout the world. He is monitored by highly respected the Sports Monitor of Oklahoma City. Paul has also won two major Las Vegas football handicapping contests and finished in the top four in two others. Each week, Paul will provide exclusive handicapping insights on the podcast. To receive Paul's exact picks each week, you can sign up for member-only access at paulstonesports.org. Now, on to the show.
Hello again, everyone. It's Wednesday, March 13th, shortly before 12:30 p.m. Central as I record, and it's finally here, college hoops fans. March Madness in full swing with the major conference tournaments this week. And Selection Sunday is this Sunday, March 17th. So buckle up, friends, and get ready for a wild ride. This is Paul Stone, and this is episode 146 of the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. This week's version titled Vegas for the Madness. So during this podcast, I'm going to offer, first of all, some food and drink recommendations for those who are traveling to Las Vegas over the next several weeks to take in the madness firsthand there. And first of all, I'll say this. If you've never been to Vegas for the first 4 days of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, especially the first 2 days, then you need to come on out. You need to make it, if not this year, at least place it at or near the top of your all-sports bucket list. You know, I'm actually going to be in town this weekend for so-called Championship Week, and there are certainly those who preach the pros of coming out during this week, during Championship Week, instead of the first few days of the real tournament. They point to smaller crowds and all of the advantages related to that. You know, there's more access to sportsbook seating. Restaurant reservations are easier to make, shorter lines at the betting windows, so forth and so on. And I certainly, first of all, understand those arguments, and I don't totally disagree. But for my money, there's nothing like spending the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament in a Las Vegas sportsbook. If you've done it before, if you've done it for years, like many people have, it's an annual ritual for some. You understand what I'm talking about. There's just so much energy, so much emotion, so much anticipation. You know, the games start at 9 a.m. Pacific and continue nonstop, it seems like, to about 11 p.m. at night, those first few days. It's just one photo finish after another. The event just never fails to deliver. And I think what this tournament's about is the underdog story. And that's part of the allure of not only watching the tournament anywhere, but especially in Vegas. You know, you ask yourself, who might be this year's Loyola Chicago? Who might be this year's Florida Atlantic from last year? You know, just on and on. I'll say this, you know, one downside to spending the first 4 days of the tournament in Vegas is the increasing cost. Not only hotel rooms, but in many cases for seating. Seating now is paid for in many books. There's also associated food and beverage minimums that some properties require. But, you know, as much as I don't like it, I understand that everything's a business. These properties see this incredible demand, and they're going to, quite frankly, monetize that demand. But for my money, give me the good old days, you know, when someone in your group had to get to the sports book at 4 a.m. or perhaps even a little bit earlier to reserve those three or four seats. Long days for sure, but a lot of fun back in those days, to be sure. So I want to start out again. I'm going to provide some tips before I get into some restaurant and other recommendations. I want to provide some tips for enhancing or maximizing your betting experience in Las Vegas? You know, first of all, don't put yourself at the mercy of those long game day betting lines that seem like they stretch to Arizona. Get betting apps, as in plural. You know, I would say ideally you'll have at least three betting apps. You would do this on Wednesday or earlier, the day before the tournament or earlier. You can at the end of the week, maybe on Sunday morning if you're going out Sunday night, early Monday morning. On Sunday at some point, you might withdraw your funds from two of the accounts and maybe keep one open where you're going to be stationed and betting that day, and you can get the funds out of there before you go home as well. But having a few apps will not only provide convenience through the ease of betting that it provides, but it'll also provide you with multiple outs. It'll give you unique lines and, in some cases, unique opportunities. And a half point in this business, guys and gals, can sometimes mean the difference between eating a burger for supper or a steak for supper. You know, secondly, you want to have a plan. And part of that plan is at least having a loose budget, unless money is not an object for you. You know, it's easy for, especially for the first timer or the, you know, relatively inexperienced bettor, it's easy to get caught up in all the excitement, in all the buzz, in all the energy, and to just come out swinging, you know, arms flailing, booze flowing, brain perhaps not functioning at peak efficiency, so to speak. But know this, the gambling gods, they don't have your back, fellas. You're not predestined to win because you're a bad man and all that, because you're smarter than all these other fools or whatever. You know, have a good time, talk it up, but pace yourself in all areas of the overall experience. Don't lose your designated bankroll the first day and then start that endless string of trips to the ATM. You know, stay in the game, live to fight, or in this case, live to bet another day. Now on to a few restaurant recommendations. You know, first of all, for a less formal experience, I enjoy dropping by a little place called Tacos and Beer on Paradise Road. It's about a mile and a half or so south of the Westgate. And as the name implies, that's what they have. They've got tacos and beer. They offer about two dozen different types of tacos, which can be ordered individually. They also have soups and salads, have around 20 or so rotating beers on tap, many local beers. They've got a TV or two as well in there, so you can watch the games. This place, to me anyway, seems to be mostly locals, so it will give you a little bit of that off-strip flavor, if you will. There's a lot of good steakhouses in Vegas, you know, no question about it. We've talked about, I think, on the podcast before when I gave out some similar recommendations. We've spoken about the Golden Steer there on Sahara, Andiamo's, which is downtown at the D. For kind of a younger vibe, there's Barry's Downtown Prime at Circa. And again, those are super places to go. Great food, great service. But I'm going to add a couple that might be slightly off the grid for some of you, you know, probably with most Vegas travelers for that matter. But these places offer fantastic food as well. First of all, you know, Circus, in many people's minds, just might be viewed as an outdated property whose better days have come and gone. But the steakhouse, and that's the name of it, the steakhouse, inside Circus is still among the city's finest. It is the jewel within Circus. I highly recommend it. If you go about a mile pretty much due east of the steakhouse at Circus, you have the Westgate Hotel and Casino and their top shelf steak eatery, the Edge Steakhouse. The Edge is another of my personal favorites. A place that has won some awards there within the city, but might be unknown to you. So two steakhouses that I highly recommend, the Steakhouse at Circus Circus, and then nearby, the Edge Steakhouse at the Westgate. Remember, especially next week during the NCAA Men's Tournament, but this week as well, make your reservations. Reservations fill up quickly during these weeks, especially next week. And if you want a specific time or a decent time or a time range, it's best to get on the list early. Next, if you're a craft beer aficionado as I am, especially if you're staying downtown, there's what's called Brewery Row, and it's in the city's Arts District, about a mile from the Fremont Street Experience. And Brewery Row consists of six breweries and two tap rooms. They are mostly encompassed in about a 6 to 8 block area. A few of the ones that I've been to, Abel Baker Brewing, Craft House Brewery, Hop Nuts, and Nevada Brew Works. So those are places that I've personally visited, and actually a few of those within the last month. They all offer a really nice assortment of local beers. And if you want to responsibly experience a wider assortment of their offerings, they not only offer the traditional flights of beer, but they also offer 6-ounce individual servings of their beer. So you can get a pretty good taste of some of the different varieties that they have there on hand. So if you like craft beer and want to stray slightly away from the typical touristy Vegas experience, visit Brewery Row. Depending on your preference and your physical condition, it's an easy 15 or 20 minute walk from the Fremont Street Experience, about a mile away. At night, I might take an Uber, but again, certainly walkable this time of the year during the day. So if you like craft beer, give Brewery Row a visit. Now for a quick plug for Paul Stone Sports. You can get all of my March Madness selections. These are my personal plays starting today, Wednesday, March 13th, all the way through next month's national championship game for just $169. The first 2 days of March Madness, which I kind of officially begin on Monday, March 11th, I've gone 3-3, actually had an outright winner late last night on 4-point underdog Florida International, but 3-3 so far in the Madness the first 2 days. Hoping to get on a little run here. You never know when that's going to happen, but I would hope that one's on the near horizon. But if interested in joining Paul Stone Sports for the entire March Madness through the national championship game for just $169, please visit paulstonesports.org. Again, that's paulstonesports.org. I'm going to go now to a couple of teams that I just kind of recommend, not necessarily in an individual game, but that I recommend going forward in both their conference tournament and then the NCAA tournament. I think both of these teams have a chance to not only make noise again in their conference tournament, but could be, final Elite Eight, Final Four type teams. There are things that I like about both of these. I think they're peaking at the right time. I think they have the right stuff to make a postseason run. And without further ado, we're going to start with a team in the Big 12, and that team being the Baylor Bears. They've got a bye into the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament based on their finish as one of the top 4 seeds in the Big 12. They're either going to draw Cincinnati or Kansas. Those two teams play today, Wednesday, March 13th, for the right to meet Baylor tomorrow on Thursday, March 15th. Cincinnati actually favored by about 2 or 2.5, and that's based on Kansas's absence of their top two players. Their top two players will miss the Big 12 tournament, that being Kansas center Hunter Dickinson and their guard and leading scorer, Kevin McCullough Jr. So without Kansas's top two players, Cincinnati, again, about a 2.5-point favorite, Baylor will face tomorrow either Cincinnati or Kansas. But let's look at this Baylor team. This Baylor team, first of all, lost its regular season finale by 10 points at Texas Tech this past Saturday. But I still think this Bears team, again, could make some noise in both the Big 12 and NCAA tournaments. A couple of players that I really like for this Baylor team. First of all, just tremendous development. Their 7-foot freshman center from Cameroon, last name Missy. That guy's just a player. He's an athlete, averages about 11 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 1.5 blocks. This guy's going to be phenomenal as he gains experience and puts just a little more polish on his overall game, if you will. Watch him play in the Big 12 tournament, in the NCAA tournament, and you'll get an idea of the athleticism that I'm speaking of. And then a guy who's kind of come along and gave us a taste of who he can be in a game here about 10 days ago now, a Monday night game there in Waco when Baylor beat Texas. And I'm talking about 6'9 senior Jalen Bridges. Bridges is a guy who began his career at West Virginia, but he has got a pure offensive game, got a great stroke, and again, showed us what he can be against Texas. Scored 32 points against the Longhorns in that big victory a week and a half ago. And if he continues to play like that, Baylor is a team to be reckoned with in the NCAA tournament. Scott Drew, a great coach. Bears won the tournament, as you recall, a couple of years back. So Baylor, one of the teams that I think could make a little noise in the upcoming big dance. A team out of the Southeastern Conference, and this is not any kind of a revelation. Quite a few guys are touting the Kentucky Wildcats in the SEC tournament and beyond this year. And we've seen, first of all, with this Kentucky team, we've seen the really good this season at times, and we've seen the not so good at times from this Kentucky team. It was more than 3 months ago in early December, but they lost at home. Just almost, you know, you can't even fathom it hardly, but they were an 18.5-point home favorite to North Carolina Wilmington in early December, lost that game 80-73. More recently, Kentucky also lost at LSU on February 21st. So those are the couple of the duds that they've laid this year. But in the last month, and what I look for when I look for a team that I think can make a run in the NCAA tournament, I want to know how they play away from the friendly confines. How do they play away from their home floor? And in the last month alone, Kentucky has been the betting underdog on the road 3 times. They have flexed their muscle on all 3 occasions. They were getting 9 points at Auburn on February 17th. They won that game by double digits. Then they defeated Mississippi by 2 points in Starkville as a 5-point underdog. And then the exclamation point, this past Saturday, the Wildcats strolled into Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville, Tennessee. They were 8.5-point underdog. They made a statement. They knocked off Tennessee 85-81 as an 8.5-point road underdog. Tennessee remains a likely number one seed when the field is announced this Sunday, March 17th. Kentucky is just a team that I think their upside, their ceiling is very high. Fair to say, the Wildcats are not an outstanding defensive team, but it has shown glimpses of improvement on that side of the ball, so they're playing better defense when they need to. Offense, an entirely different matter. They're one of the most efficient offensive teams in all of college basketball, one of the nation's best without question. They have 5 double-digit scores, have another guy, Justin Edwards, who averages 9 points a game, and he came up big in that Tennessee victory, came up with 16 points. So they can score from all positions on the floor. A lot of college teams, even the upper echelon ones, don't have that capability. So a really sound offensive team. And you got to look, when you talk about Kentucky, you've got to talk about the development of true freshman guard Reed Shepherd. He's a homegrown guy there from the state of Kentucky, and he just gives you reason to believe that great things are possible for this team in the big dance. He had 27 last Saturday in that victory at Tennessee, and then a few games earlier in the win at Mississippi State, he scored 32 points. So both on the road, 27 at Tennessee, a number one seed more than likely, 32 in a big victory at Mississippi State, coming up big on the road, Kentucky playing well on the road as a team. I like this Kentucky team a lot. I actually have a futures on Kentucky at 30-1 to win the NCAA tournament, so we'll see how that turns out. But that's going to do it for another edition of the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. Next time we visit will be about this time next week. Maybe even try to get it out on Tuesday, the 19th of March, if not Tuesday, certainly by Wednesday, March 20th, before the tournament kicks into full gear on Thursday, March 21st. Enjoy the games this weekend. The madness is underway, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, signing off once again, I am Paul Stone.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And visit paulstonesports.org to sign up for member-only access to Paul's college football, college basketball, and PGA Tour golf picks and predictions.